started?
Yes.
Okay. Yuda's on the line. How are you? Good morning. We're up to Sanhedrin Pei Dalet Amud Beis, and we're studying the Tosfos Divrei HaMashkil Man Shamit. Tosfos had raised three questions against Rashi, three objections, one of which we were able to answer and defend Rashi. The Ramban, if you recall, had raised the fourth question, and if anybody could close the door, that would be great. And then we go on to Tosfos Shita himself, which starts with the words Al Kain Nireh. So if you're looking at the wide lines in Tosfos, we began yesterday on the third of the wide lines, Al Kain Nireh. And Tosfos presents the following alternative shot in the sugya to Rashi. Both Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan accept the shita of Reb Shimon, but they have two views of Reb Shimon. According to the view of Rabbi Avo, as expressed in the simple pshat in the brisa that he quotes, there are two melachos which you're chayav for pure kilkel, complete kilkel. And these are the exceptions to the rule that kol hamakalkel in pturim. Chutz michovel umavir. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that in these two cases, you're chayav despite the fact that it's a kilkel, and he derives this from two different sources, one for each malacha respectively. In the case of chovel, he derives it from mila. In the case of Mavir, he derives it from Sreifas Bas Kohen. And in the opinion of Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Shimon, the author of this brisa, holds that there are two malachas for which you will engender a chiyuv, a full-fledged chiyuv of Melech HaShabbos, even though it's pure kilkel. Rabbi Yochanan finds this intolerable, and he assumes that both in the cases of Mila and Mavir, there is some element of tikkun, as we'll discuss in Ritz Shem in a few minutes, and that there's no such thing as a malacha. We cannot recognize a malacha that is pure kilkel. You cannot be chayev. The rule is kol hamakalkel p'turin, and that's it, flat. That's an absolute ironclad rule. You must have a maleches tikkun, and even Rav Shimon requires a maleches tikkun. However, the cases of Chovel Umavir, which at first glance seem to be cases of Kilkul, are in fact not cases of Kilkul. And here Tosfos coins the phrase, as we discussed yesterday, Tikkun Ktsas. And why in the case of Chovel, why in the case of Mavir is there a Tikkun Ktsas? Because he has a particular need for that malacha, whether it's for the sake of collecting dam for his dog, or it's a case where he needs the afer, the ashes, to cook his egg. And although that's not a malacha where the tzorech is the malacha itself, the gufa shel malacha, as we called it, the essential malacha, because the essential malacha is destructive, after all, he is victimizing someone by beating him up and causing his blood to come out. He is burning down somebody's haystack. So that really is a maleches kilkul, but the Torah does recognize the fact that he has a need for this kilkul. And that's the shita of Rav Shimon, that in the cases of Chovel Umavir, that personal subjective need that you have for the Chovel or the Mavir makes it into a maleches tikkun. It's not a real tikkun. It's not the full, bona fide, genuine tikkun, because he doesn't need the gufa shel malacha. That gufa shel malacha is certainly destructive, but nevertheless, it's a tikkun ktsas. So we have the following two shitas at this point, both within the framework of Rabbi Shimon. We have the shita of Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Shimon. That means that act pure kilkel in these two malachas is chayev. And then we have the shita of Rabbi Yochanan in Rabbi Shimon, and there we have, and we've downgraded by one level the extent of tikkun. We don't need that high, full fledged tikkun. On the other hand, again, mekalkel is out, but what we end up with is tikkun ktsas in the case where he needs the dam for his kelev. He needs the ashes for cooking his egg. Then we have the third shita, and that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And according to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, on the one hand, kilkul is out. There's no such thing as a meleches kilkul. On the other hand, tikkun ktsas is not sufficient to upgrade a meleches kilkul and grant it the status of a meleches tikkun. And the reason for that is because ein darko b'kach. This is not the normal way you do melacha. You don't destroy someone's haystack in order to get his ashes. Find another way of getting his ashes. You don't beat up someone to get blood. Find a different way of getting blood. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda rejects this tikkun ktsas principle, this middle stage, and he basically classifies chovel umavir in the cases of tzarch lekalbo and tzarch liafro as meleches kilkul, in which case Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're potter. So it's very interesting now that Rabbi Yehuda becomes the great mekil over here, and he's of the opinion that in the cases of chovel tzarch lekalbo and mavir tzarch liafro, there will be a psak that you're potter. And that is because that makes it into meleches kilkul. Okay. Now, let's read the Tosus inside. Tosus says, Al keinire. De Rabbi Avov, Rabbi Yochanan Pligi, Alibi de Rabbi Shimon Pligi. Boketov. I'm absolutely thrilled to see you, as I am to see everybody. Alibi de Rabbi Shimon Pligi. The Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Shimon, meaning Chutz Michovel Umavir. Rabbi Yochanan, Sovra Filu Rabbi Shimon Nami, Boy Tikun Ktsas. Umil Lochoshiv Tikun, she is Chayev Bekachle Rabbi Yehuda. The Ein Derech, Lachbol Bechavero Litain Lekelev, Lisrov, Godish, Bishvil Efer. Fine. So we're up to, if you can make a note of it, the word uplugta. That's where we want to start the shiur today. So where is this word uplugta? We are on the wide lines of Tosfos on the bottom of the page, and we are on line 5. Uplugta. So if you have that, then we should be ready to go. Okay then?
Oh, yeah, the fourth.
I meant the fourth line. Sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, fourth of the wide lines towards the bottom line. Yeah, look. Do you see this? See, here's what we're up to. If you can take this, I don't need it actually right now.
I heard last word.
Oh, you have it. Okay, you don't need these large letters like I do. Baruch Hashem, you don't need that. Okay.
I just hold it really close.
Yeah. Okay, we got a little musical accompaniment here. No, that's okay. We always love music.
Okay.
We once had the schus of hosting Rav Shlomo Kalbach in our basement back in Flatbush in Brooklyn for Sheva Brachos, and the music was wonderful. The only problem was, you know, we were talking before about addiction. We got so addicted to it that when Rav Shlomo left and they put on this, you know, this one of these tapes of Rav Shlomo, it wasn't the real thing. You know what I mean? We need the Coca-Cola, you know, Yesh Tam L'chaim, the real thing. All right, is everybody ready for Uplugta? Okay. Uplugta de mekalkel bechabura de Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. This is an implicit question. Where does the Gemara know, as Rashi had raised this question earlier, that this plugta, this machlokas about the case of kilkul in chabura, and chabura, by the way, is another word for chovel in our context, that this is in fact a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Where do we know this from? So Tosus offers two answers, and then later he's going to offer the real answer. The two answers that he offers now are the following. Number one, Kimle Lashas. This was a tradition that was passed on from generation to generation in the Chachmei HaTalmud. Oh, here's his second answer. I'm sorry, my mistake. It's actually one answer, but there are two permutations of that answer. Kimle Lashas means that the Gemara knew that this was a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And again, Rabbi will say, who's the makil in this machlokus? We always have to keep this in mind. And who's the one who's going to say that mekalkel b'chabura patur? Who's the one?
That would be Rabbi Yehuda.
Correct, Rabbi Yehuda, good old Rabbi Judah. Which is very interesting, because as a general rule, Rabbi Yehuda in Hilchos Shabbos is gemal de gemachmir, but here he becomes the makil. And then we have mekalkel b'chabura chayav, right? And who becomes the machmir in this case? Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara knew this. This was a given. How did the Gemara know this? And Tosfos offers two possibilities. Either the Kabbalah, it was an oral tradition, or the Gemara had an actual text that recorded this machlokas, in which Rabbi Yehuda was making and Rabbi Shimon was machmir, and that text was a brisa. It was left out of the Mishnah. We don't have all the brises. We have many brises, but there are many brises that we simply don't have. Because the Mesorah was kept very meticulously with the Mishnayos, but not so meticulously with the Brais. So that's what he says, O b'kabbalah, O shema Brisa shnuya b'shem makom.
And this is the Chabura Legamri?
This is Mekalkel b'Chabura Legamri. This is total Mekalkel, a full-fledged 100% Mekalkel. Now, Rabos, I need you to underline the next two words, v'chi tema, in Tosfos. Because this begins a new paragraph.
So when Rabbi Yochanan was arguing with Rabbi Abayu about the chutz, it didn't include chobel, because chavera and chobel are the same, and he already knew that Rabbi Shimon was in shas saying that they're yachayv.
Well, yes and no. In other words, David, there was a tradition that Rav Shimon is the machmir here, and he's going to say Yechayah from a Kalka B'chabura. But the question is, what was the nature of that Makalka B'chabura? That became a debate between Rabbi Avoh and Rabbi Yochanan. So both Rabbi Avoh and Rabbi Yochanan had this ambiguous, or shall we say, general tradition or brisa, whatever it might be, that said that Rav Shimon is the machmir who says the mekalkel b'chabura is chayav. But exactly what that meant, that became a subject of a great debate between Rav Shimon and between Rabbi Avoh and Rabbi Yochanan. So if I had a flowchart here, the flowchart would look like this. It would have Rabbi Shimon on top, and in this so-called brisa, which would not, we don't have access to, it says Rabbi Shimon Omer Mekalkel B'chabura Chayav. Then on the other side of this chart, parallel to those words, it has Rabbi Yehuda Omer Patur. And then we have like a sub machlokes under Rabbi Shimon, and we have Rabbi Avoh against Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, that's on this side of the board. Rabbi Avoh says Mekalkel B'chabura Chayav, according to Rabbi Shimon, straight down the line, kipshuto, as we would understand it simply, there's no element of tikkun. Rabbi Yochanan says no. When Rabbi Shimon said the Mekalkel B'chabura is chayav, he meant when there is a tikkun, but although it's not a real tikkun, it's a tikkun ktsas. That's how I see it. Now, in order to understand this v'chi tema, let's just review the highlights of the sugya itself here in Sanhedrin. The Gemara wants to know, how are you allowing someone to remove a thorn on Shabbos, knowing full well that some blood will come out? And if the blood comes out, that's called chabura. So the Gemara tried one effort, one suggestion, and knocked it down. The first suggestion was that maybe you're allowed to do this because taking the blood out is called kilkul, and mekalkel b'chabura is chayav. So the Gemara, I'm sorry, my mistake. And mekalkel b'chabura is potter. That's what I meant to say, sorry. So since we're holding like Rabbi Yehuda, that mekalkel b'chabura is potter, we can now justify taking out this thorn, knowing full well that blood is going to come out. That the Gemara rejects that. Why? Because that's fine for Rabbi Yehuda. But what's Rabbi Shimon going to say? There's a Mishnah an anonymous Mishnah that says that you're allowed to do this procedure on Shabbos. And again, knowing full well that you'll remove dam, Rav Shimon holds that Makalka b'chabura chayav. So if you have the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that's the last line on the page. You see where it says, "Diomar Makalka b'chabura chayav Rav Shimoni." And again, according to Tosis, the Gemara knew that Rav Shimon was the one who was machmir and Makalka b'chabura because based on some tradition or some brisa that they had. So now the Gemara wants to know, what's Rav Shimon going to do with this Mishnah? Is he going to reject this Mishnah and this halacha that allows you to take out a thorn on Shabbos? So the Gemara now on the top of Pehei Amud Aleph says Rav Shimon is in the clear. Why? How can he allow it? Because of another sheet of Rav Shimon. And that is that a malacha shenitzricha legufa is patur. So it comes out that in the case of removing a thorn, right, a splinter, and the blood comes out as a result, that's an overlap of two categories. It's called, on the one hand, Mekalkel B'chabura, and it's also called a Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'gufa. Insofar as Rav Shimon is concerned, with regard to Mekalkel B'chabura, the din would be Chayef, and we'd have no justification to allow this procedure. But if it comes under another category, because as I said before, it's an overlap, it's also Malach Shein Tzricha L'gufa, then we could apply the principle of Rav Shimon, Malach Shein Tzricha L'gufa Patur, and therefore justify the Mishnah's conclusion that you're allowed to do this procedure. So again, B'toras, Mekalkel B'chabura, we would not say you're Patur, and that could not justify the procedure, because Rav Shimon holds Mekalkel B'chabura is Chayav, but we can justify it because this procedure of removing dam is also called a malacha she'ena tzricha leguf, means he doesn't need the dam. Normally, when you remove the blood in a chovel situation, you need the blood. Here, you don't need the blood. He has no interest in the blood. That makes it into a malacha she'ena tzricha leguf. So Tosis points out here that we're facing a very difficult situation here, because what you've virtually done, in effect, is you've converted the concept of Mekalkel B'chabura Chayav in Rav Shimon into a null set. It can't exist. There is no case where we could say that Mekalkel B'chabura is Chayav, because every single case, by definition, of Mekalkel B'chabura is going to be a Malach Shein Tzrich L'gufa. Why? Because Mekalkel means that I'm taking out the dam, I don't need the dam. If I don't need the dam, then it becomes Malacha Shein Tzricha L'gufa. Because what's Malacha Shein Tzricha L'gufa? That means anytime I implement a Malacha and I don't need the Gufa Malacha, the Gufa Malacha is the Dam, I don't need the Dam. He has no interest in the Dam. On the contrary, rather if the Dam stayed inside. So then now, it comes out that there's no such case as Mekalkel B'chabura Chayav. Because who's the one who holds Mekalkel B'chabura Chayav? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon also holds him Malach Shein Tzricha L'gufa is Patur. Is in every case of Mekalkel B'chabura, it's going to be by definition a case of Malach Shein Tzricha L'gufa. So you've virtually taken this concept of Mekalkel B'chabura Chayav and you've thrown it out the window. That's what I think Tosfos is now going to address. V'chi Tema L'Rabbi Avo Kevon Deleka Tikun. If according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Avo's understanding of Rabbi Shimon, the case of Mekalkel B'chabura means it was total kilkul. In Cain, Tzricha L'gufa Hechi Mishkachas La. The whole discussion here as to whether or not Mekalkel B'chabura in any particular circumstance is a Tzricha L'gufa or ain't a Tzricha L'gufa, implying that there is a possibility of having a case of Mekalkel B'chabura where Rav Shimon would say you're Chayav because it's a Malacha Tzricha L'gufa. When is that possible? How can you find the following two conditions coexisting? Number one, it's a case of Mekalkel B'chabura. But number two, it's a malacha tzricha legufa, because according to Rav Shimon, in order to set up a chiyuv in Mekalkel B'chabura, I also have to have a malacha tzricha legufa. But every case of Mekalkel B'chabura is a malacha shena tzricha legufa. Says Tosfos, Mishkachas lo, I found the case. Bi'isurei hano. what happened in Isuri Adna? Shesavur, he thought sheyachol lihenos. He mistakenly thought that he could have hana, which means that he could take the dam and he could use it for his purposes, for his benefit. And the ultimate truth is that he's not allowed to use it for his benefit because it's Isuri Adna. But he thought he's allowed to use it v'liten l'kalbo. And Tosis says a mirror image would be in the case of Mavir, where he's burning Isuri Adna, and he thinks Sovar, he's of the mistaken opinion sheyachol avashal k'deira, he could take this fire and put his pot on the fire and cook his food. And Tosis says that these two cases that we just described, which are parallel or mirror images one of the other, would fit the following bill. Number one, it's makalkel. Number two, it's tzricha legufa. Does everybody follow that? Just in mathematical terms, again, we haven't answered the question as to why, but let's understand the facts on the ground. Tosis is presenting the following facts on the ground, that if a person removes dam, thinking in his mind that he is allowed to use that dam, when in truth he's not allowed to use that dam because it's Isuri Adna, the Torah prohibited any benefit from this dam. In such a case, the following two descriptions apply. Check off the following two boxes. Number one, it is makalkel b'chabura. And number two, it's a melacha tzricha l'gufa. Now, I was trying to rack my brains on this and try to figure out what's going on here. And again, we have the Pnei Yehoshua, but before we see the Pnei Yehoshua, I just want to point out to you, if you don't mind, the extra effort of opening the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Kuvav.
Should have
gotten. Okay, if you don't mind the extra effort of opening up Shabbos Daf Kuvav, I saw everybody running to get their Shabbos Daf Kuvav.
Now, Rabbi, is it necessary to have both those conditions active?
Yes.
In order
to generate a chiyuv. If it's not enough just to say, well, it's makalka b'chabura, you also have to say it's a melacha tzricha l'gufa. So you need to activate both conditions. And Tosis thinks he found a scenario in which you could activate both conditions.
When do you think you need to look?
Yeah, he needs the blood from the dog. But the only problem is that blood is Isuri Adna. You're not allowed to benefit from that. He doesn't know that. He thinks that he's allowed to benefit from this dam. And therefore, in his mind, he needs the dam. If he needs the dam, that makes it into a melacha tzricha legufa. And now I've checked off that. In fact, though, it's a makalkil case. Why? Because the Torah doesn't recognize his use of the dam.
Because it's forbidden.
And once it's forbidden, that makes it into a melechas kilkul. You can't even say it's a tikkun ktsas. Once it's an isur of hana, and the Torah forbids having any benefit from it, that's it, it's a pure kilkul. You've gained nothing here. You in your mind have fooled yourself into thinking that you've gained.
So it's not a good example.
It's a perfect example, because again, we're trying to fulfill two conditions here. Let's see if this works. I'm just not strong enough.
You want
to update? No. Just sit down. Don't sit down. I'm not going to let you get out here so fast. You know, till 10:30. Which is never 10:30. But let's understand. According to Rabbi Shimma, okay, this is my chart now. Rabbi Shimma, forget everything else that's on the board here. According to Rabbi Shimma, in order to be chayav, right? This is our goal, to be chayav. You're going to need to check off two boxes. Number one is going to be makalkel v'chabura. And number two, it's going to be molacha hatzricha legufa. So, right? You're going to have to check off both these boxes, and only if and then will you be chayav. Tosis thinks that's impossible. Mutually exclusive. Why? Because how can you tell me that it's tzricha l'gufa and call it a makalkel? If it's tzricha l'gufa, then by definition it's a melechas tikkun. I need the melacha l'gufa shel melacha. The real kishkes is the essence of the melacha. I need it. But rather, the opposite is true. If it's a makalkel situation, it means I don't need the melacha, and that's why it's called a kilkel.
well, if I don't need the Malachim, then it's Ein HaTzrichut, you cannot possibly check off the second requirement that Rav Shimon has. So how could I ever envision a case, a scenario in which it's both Makalka Bakabura and at the same time it's Tzrichut Gufa? And Tosus's answer is Isurei Hanah. He introduces a new element here of Isurei Hanah. And Tosfos is going to argue the following, that if it's Isurei Hanah, but he doesn't know that, so from his perspective, it's Tzrichut Gufa. He needs the blood. Little does he know that the blood is Asur Hanah, and he's not allowed to benefit from it. This is going to be a case of a Kalkel. Why? Because it's Isurei Hanah, and the blood is completely forbidden. And if it's forbidden, then you're not adding anything to the world. You're not gaining anything. There's no tikkun. But at the same time, he asks me, what is his mindset? He thinks that he's allowed to benefit from this dam, and therefore he needs the dam. And again, if you open up the Gemara in Shabbos Kuvav, Kuvav Amin Al. Well, we're not learning the Gemara now. That we know by heart. We're learning the Tosfos Dibur HaMaaseh B'Chovel. You have that second Tosfos on the page, and he says V'yesh Lomar. This is the fourth of the wide lines. Are we all on the same page? So again, we're on Kuf Vav Amin Aleph, Tosfos Dibur HaMaaseh B'Chovel, and we're looking at the first of the wide lines, towards the end of that line. And he says the following: V'yesh Lomar, Afilu B'Makalkil Gomur, even if it's a complete Makalkil, Mishkachasle, which means I can come up with a scenario, Da'havi Tzrichu L'Gufa. This is very paradoxical. If it's Tzrichu L'Gufa, that's not a kilkul. You need it. Kigon, what's the case? Chovel umavir b'isurei hanah. He was extracting blood from something which is asur b'hanah. Obviously, we're talking about an animal. Okay, because in a human being, I don't think you can come up with a case where dam is asur b'hanah. At least I can't think of a case. But in animals, we could talk about Isurei Hanah. For example, the classical case that I had in mind here was a Behemas Kodshin. Right? So you designated this animal for the Mizbeach. And once you do so, you're not allowed to have any benefit from the animal. Its flesh, its blood, everything becomes also by Hanah. But Shesovar, but he in his own mind, Sheyochol, Litain Lakalba, that he's allowed to benefit from this dam, and there's no Isur involved. So from his point of view, he has a tzorech. According to all the knowledge he has in his mind, he has a desperate need to remove the blood from this animal to feed his dog. Or alternatively, he's burning Arlo, or something that's also about Noah, and he thinks, mistakenly, that the Arlo is not Isurei Hanah. Maybe he doesn't even know it's Arla for that matter. And he's gonna place his pot on top of the fire as the Arla is going up in smoke. Levashel bo'akdera. But it's Isurei Hanah. He's not allowed to use the fire to cook his pot. So that on the one end, this is called Tzrichut L'Gufa, because in his mindset, if we enter into his, I'm going to throw out a fancy word. Did I ever throw this word out? Phenomenology? Does anybody know what that is? No, forget it. Okay. You didn't go to the same graduate school that I went to, or if you did, you didn't study philosophy. So anyway, in the new school where I went to, which is on Fifth Avenue, Manhattan, for my graduate degree, there was a whole push for a field of philosophy which is called phenomenology. Phenomenology basically, again, this is very complicated, and I don't understand phenomenology, but it's based on Cartesian philosophy, which means that reality is just what you think in your mind. And it's all based on Descartes, because Descartes in the Meditations proves that you can't prove anything. Nothing can be proven. Five meditations to prove that, till at the end of the fifth meditation, he says you can prove your own existence, not as an existing being, but as a conscious mind. That's called cogito ergo sum. So basically, otherwise known as I think, therefore I am.
And based on Descartes, so Husserl, who was, by the way, born Jewish, but in the 19th century, in the 20th century, he came up with a school of philosophy called phenomenology, where reality is basically what you think in your conscious mind. So in any event, leaving that aside now, in the phenomenological mind of this person, he has a need for the Dham, because he doesn't realize that the Dham is also Bandoa. He thinks that he can use this Dham to fulfill his basic need, his very pressing need, to feed his dog. So that makes it into Tricha Legufa. But in truth, in objective terms, in the Torah's reality, this is not beneficial for him at all. He's not allowed to use that Dham. It's a waste of his time and his effort. And if we get a hold of him on time, we're going to stop him before he feeds his dog.
What confuses me, and I may be wrong here, is I think somewhere in the last week or so, there was an example where someone came up with an alternate theory and it was rejected because it wasn't allowed. Here, you're saying, even though it's not allowed because it's a surei anah, it's an acceptable argument because he thinks. And I could have sworn...
Well, one second, dog. I'm not saying that he's allowed to do what he's doing.
I understand that.
Oh.
So my confusion is, if it's a sewer, so even though he thinks it, so it seems to me the condition doesn't exist. He's not allowed to...
Well, so that's what the Pnei Yeshua claims, and again, you'll have to tell me if we said otherwise, and if we did, it's because we didn't know this Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua says... Pirush. Does everybody have that? I think I made a little arrow there. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you see the second line. It says Pirush.
Dele'inyan malacha shein etzricha
legufa. As far as your answer to the following question, is this tzricha legufa or is it not tzricha legufa? How do you make that determination? How do you make that call? Vadai. Basar machshavto azlina. Please underline those three words. Basar machshavto azlina means that his machshava will determine whether or not it's tzricha legufa. Why? Basar means to follow. Right? So we follow his machshava. Azlina, we go. We go by his machshava. And why is that so? De ikar atamhu. Why is that Malach Shen Tzricha Legufa is Patur, according to Rav Shimon? Mishum di'ein machshavto lezua malacha elu davar acher. He's not thinking, he's not needing, he's not desiring this malacha, he desires something else. What we called a tikkun etz alacherim or a tikkun stud. So if you ask me the question, how do I determine, is this Tzricha Legufa or is it Eina Tzricha Legufa? The answer is I have to go into his mindset. I have to ask him whether he needs the malacha or he doesn't need the malacha, and he's going to scream from the top of the rooftops, "I need this malacha!" And in his mind, he needs this malacha. That makes him the malacha tzricha legufa. In our language, I would translate the Pnei Yeshua by introducing the concept of malachas machshavas, which means that in my mind, I want this tzorech ha-malacha. I need the malacha and the result of the malacha. I need it desperately. So that makes it into a maleches machsheves. And Rav Shimon would say, Yechayev. However, at the same time, we have to ask a different question. Is this called a maleches kilkul? Which again, according to Rav Shimon, mekalkel b'chabur is chayev. And here the answer is not subjective. We're not going to enter into his mindset. Avolainya mekalkel o shayach lekroso metaken. We can never say that as far as the velt is concerned, he is actually doing a tikkun, because this dam is also banah. So the fact that he thinks he's contributing to the world doesn't mean that, as a matter of fact, on the ground, in the mitzvahs of the world, he actually contributed something. Just because Savar Shiyach Lehenos, because he fooled himself into thinking that he's allowed to benefit from this Dham, that doesn't make it into a Meleches Tikkun, because in fact, we can't do anything with this Dham. He's not allowed to do anything with this Dham. And if we catch him on time, we'll slap him over his hand and make sure he doesn't feed his dog this Dham. They came unto the Emes, in the absolute truth of reality, Osur Bano, he's not allowed to benefit. Havi Makalkil Mitzad Amaisa. Mitzad Amaisa means the objective action. So where does subjectivity play the major role. Where do we need objectivity? Go ahead, Ben.
The objectivity will only work in a creative malacha, but kilkul machshava is irrelevant.
So where is subjectivity relevant?
In
Malach Hashem, it's Tzricha L'Gufa. Is it Tzricha L'Gufa? Is it not Tzricha L'Gufa? That question has to be addressed to the person. If the person is telling you, I need it, then he needs it. At the end of the day, the law is going to prohibit it, but he needs it. So let's say I would violate, let's say, you know, some sort of civil law, and I cross at a, you know, cross at a red light or something. If I need it, then that's considered my need. Am I allowed to do it? I'm not allowed to do it. When it comes to Kilkul versus Tikkun, says the Pnei Yehoshua, we need the objective Tikkun. If we cannot define it as Tikkun, why? Because this dam is worthless for anybody, it's also about Noah. Then that's called a Meleches Kilkul and not a Meleches Tikkun. So we fulfill that first requirement here of Mekalkel v'Chaburah. But when it comes to Tzricha L'Gufa, not Tzricha L'Gufa, meaning is this a Meleches Machsheves? Does he have a purpose for the Gufa Shel Malacha? The answer is, here it depends upon what he thinks and what his intention is. If he has in mind, because he's fooled himself into thinking that it's Mutar Ba'Noah, that he's going to benefit from this Dam, that makes it into a Malacha Tzricha L'Gufa.
So he's accepting the argument.
Yeah, this piece in the Pnei Yehoshua is an elaboration of what we've been studying in two Tosfos.
So we have two Tosfos.
Right, it's an embellishment or an explanation of Tosfos. And we've seen Tosfos twice. One in Sanhedrin Pei Dalet Omid Beis, and one in Shabbos Daf Kuf Vav Omen Aleph. Yeah, good. Shmuel, I'm paying attention, but okay. I'm also at the same time opening a safe for you.
It helps me understand this. I just want to be sure it's true. Every time we mention a different facet of Melechet Machshevet, so you could say these are all conditions for a person to be able to be to have done an Isur in Dereita of an Av Melecha.
Right.
He would have to, let's say, not break any of those conditions. The whole set. It wouldn't necessarily be in one instance, but we could check down that whole list.
Excellent. We'd have to check off the whole list.
You're not doing the Doraita because those are part of the requirements from Melechet Machshevet.
Right. And now the requirements are Mekalkel v'Chaburah and Tzricha L'Gufa. We can check off both requirements and he's chayav. Why? Because it's Tzricha L'Gufa on the one hand, he needs the Dam, he thinks he's going to use the Dam, and he needs the Dam. On the other hand, it's also called Mekalkel because in objective terms, it's a kilkul. There's no use for this dam. This dam has no use whatsoever. Just bury it. That's all you can do with it. Because it's Yisrei Adno.
And this is all kind of justification for Rabbi Yochanan's view of Rabbi Shimon.
This is, let's just see.
This is the
I would use Rabbi Avo. Let's not confuse ourselves with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo is the one who says that Mekalkel b'chabura is chayav. Now you might ask me, according to Rabbi Yochanan, how does this all fit in? And that the answer I would give you is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he needs it for his kelev, and that makes it into a meleches tikkun. So then we don't really have a discussion because Rabbi Yehuda is going to say. I'm sorry, because Rabbi Yochanan is going to say in Rabbi Shimon that the case of Mekalkel, which you're chayav for, is certainly Einet Tzricha, it's Einet Tzricha Klal. You know, it's Einet Tzricha Klal. No, I'm sorry, what did I just say? I don't know what I just said. Forget about what I just said. Oh, you didn't hear it anyway, so that's good. The question always is when I finish shiur, like what percentage of what I said you did hear? You know, it goes between 0 and 100. I don't know where. It may be closer to 0, but anyway,
it's recorded.
Okay, the recorder heard it. No, what I really meant to say was the following: that the case of Rab Shimon of Mekalkel v'Chabura Chayav, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is the case in which he has a tikkun ktsas. And if he has a tikkun ktsas, that could make it into a melacha tzricha l'gufa. In other words, there's a lot more room for maneuverability here within the framework of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says that mekalkel chabur means he has a tikkun ktsas, and now we just have to fit in, you know, take that peg of tikkun ktsas and fit it into tzricha legufa. That's a lot easier to do. But in Rabbi Avo, we really are challenged, because Rabbi Avo says that there's no tikkun at all, zero tikkun, and mekalka b'chabur is pure kilkul. No, if that be the case, Tosis yells and screams, that's ena tzricha legufa, he has no tzarech at all, it's a pure kilkul. The answer is, he has a personal subjective tzarech based on what he thinks and what he knows, but in truth, it's still a kilkul. So it's tzricha legufa, because as the Pnei Yeshua says, as far as tzricha legufa is concerned, everything depends upon basar machshavto azlinon. But as far as mekalkel, and whether or not it's tikkun or not, there we need objective tikkun. The world has become a better place to live in. Now we can feed our dog's blood. But in this case, we can't feed our dogs the blood, because the blood is also by Noah. So as a matter of fact, in the reality that we know to exist in this world, he has not added anything to the world. He's not contributed anything. And in objective terms, this is called a kilkul. So now we have both a maleches kilkun, at the same time we have maleches tikkun.
Rabbi, is objective in Hebrew meaning objectivity?
Yeah. Actually, objectivity, you should know, was taken from the English. I hate
well,
to.
Yeah,
you think it's the other way around.
I know it's
that's a different sheet, a person born in this country, a person.
I was born in America.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How old were you when you came?
11.
11. Cool. So you went to high school here?
Yeah.
Then you're Israeli.
I'm very.
Seriously, high school really is the COVID.
The
borderline is the age.
Yeah, why?
Because aside from the fact that he's actually typing on the Hebrew.
Right, yeah, that's pretty impressive. But I just find it very amusing when somebody says to me, oh, what is objective mean? Oh, it means objectivity. It's
like, yeah, that's Israeli American.
That's a poke I get. Everything is upside down. I always say that, you know, if you don't know a word in Hebrew, just say it in English and just say it a little Y at the end. So I just want to read to you a line here that I found in a sefer called Siyunim VeHa'aris. And again, if this line or two has any meaning for us, I don't know, I'm not guaranteeing, then we'll photocopy it, believe me. But it's called Tziyunim V'Aris. But let's not even care about the name of the book unless we really find something good in the book. If we don't find something good in this book, then you don't need this book. So I don't want you to write down the name of the book. But let's just see if I read it to you. I'm reading out of a book called Tziyunim V'Aris, okay? I should have just said it Bal Peh, not read. Okay, fine. Just Rabosai.
Yeah.
I need your silence for a few minutes. Don't say anything. Okay, just for a few minutes. Okay, he says the following: Umikol makom havi mekalkel. In this case, where he needs the dam, it's considered mekalkel. Why it's isuri? I don't know. Mishum sha emesi. The truth is, she osur levashel bok dera. He's not allowed to take this arla, which is osur, turn on the fire and put his pot on the fire. Afkishamavir. He adds here two words that we don't have. So now Berzon is talking. Why does he add these two words on? So I'm trying to suggest the following. Arla is asur b'ana as long as it's arla. Now, I don't know enough about physics to tell you that this is correct, but my intuition tells me this is correct. So if anybody is a physicist, then he can disprove what I'm going to say. And I don't know if our friend Mr. Miller's on the line. He's not tuned in to
this. He might be on the line.
Okay, if he's on the line, he'll have to tell me, because he's a genius in physics, whether what I'm about to say is correct. You can only enjoy the benefit of the fire after the arla is gone. What I'm saying is that Isuri Anah means I'm taking this arla, for example, and I'm rubbing it on my body. But if I'm burning the arla, then the hanah that I'm getting from the pot that's cooking on this fire from the burnt arla doesn't come from the arla itself. It comes from a different gas, if you will, a different substance in the universe that is produced by the arla. So that's what I think he says. He adds the words afkishamavir. Even though it's going up in smoke, there's no arla to be. Again, there may be arla that hasn't yet burned up, but the fire is coming from that part of. In other words, the arla is converted into a fire, and that fire that's coming from that burnt arla is coming at a time when there's no arla. There's other Arla, but he's not benefiting from the other Arla. The Arla that he's benefiting from is going up in smoke. Ben, what do you say?
No, it seems to echo the Kiddushei Ramban. Are we talking about sequential or simultaneous?
Uh-huh.
So if it's simultaneous, then it really is the order. But if it's sequential, then it's no longer the order.
That could be brilliant. I was going to say something much simpler. Yours is much more sophisticated. I was going to say the following, that maybe what Tosus has in mind here is that you can have Hano, and maybe we're both saying the same thing, but I'm going to just say it in much more, shall I say, rough terms.
First, Ben.
What I want to say is that in, like in billiards, right? So you hit one ball and then it hits another ball. So Tosis is suggesting, the way he's interpreting it, that Isuri Hano doesn't have to mean the first ball. You know, let's say this, what's it called in billiards, the stick? Does it have a name for it? What's it called? A billiard stick. Okay. What's it called?
Q-stick.
The Q stick. Okay. The Q stick is Isuri Hano. And now I take the Q stick and I hit the first ball. Now, the first ball hits the second ball. Have I violated Isuri Hano vis-a-vis the second ball? In other words, let's say I don't get any benefit from the first ball, only from the second ball. So I think what Tosfos is saying is that yes, that you could create an entire chain, I call it a chadgadya, and at the end of the day, if you get some sort of benefit from the last stage, you know, Asam al Hamavis, you know, then you have now created a whole chain here, a domino theory, in which you are considered to having had enough from the original object. So again, it's a fascinating question here. The object itself doesn't exist. It's up in smoke. It's been converted into a different substance. But it doesn't matter. That substance was generated by the Arla. No Arla, no fire. And therefore, the pot that cooks on that fire is an Isra Hano, a violation of Hano that you got from the Arla. Even though the moment of time in which I cook the pot, the Arla is non-existent. That's the paradox here of Tosis. That's why I think he adds these two words there, af kishamavya. But let me read another line here. He says, Lachain noktu atosvis. Okay, he says the language of Tosis is Shesover hu levashel. Let's just double check that if we have that now at Tosis. Again, it's the second of the wide lines. He says, oh, he has ulevashel bark there. Let me see if we have it here in Tosis in Sanhedrin. Do we have Sover hu? Oh, beautiful. In Tosis in Sanhedrin, if you'll see it, you can count up four lines from the bottom of Tosis on Pei Dalet Amud Beis. He says, Sovur sheyochel levashel. He says, Vaha denoktu atosvis sovur hu levashel, velo noktu shesovur lehenos me afro, mishum shim hoisa kavanoso lehenos me afro, lo hoya makalkel. Wow. This is what.
Now it's on us on him.
He wants to know the following. Why does Tosfos, when he gets to Mavir, introduce a whole new scenario when he's cooking his pot on the fire? Forget about cooking the pot on the fire. Why not stick to your original scenario, namely, that he wants the Aether? Do you remember how we said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he was mavir v'tzorach li'afro, right? He needed the ashes. Why does he introduce bishul here, Tosfos? It's a foreign element. It's not necessary. Just stick to the original reality. The original case was tzorach li'afro.
That seems both in category tikkun la'achirin. It's like it's a secondary lo bagufo, but it's secondary in the world of Rabbi Yehuda, but not la'achirin. Bishul is not your primary, secondary game.
So you're strengthening his question or you're answering his question? I'm not sure. So Ben, you want to hold on to that just a minute? I just want to spend 5 minutes trying to wrap my brain around what he's saying here. He, again, let's understand what his question is. Why did Tosis jump over the gap here? How do they say in England, mind the gap, right? Tosis jumps over here to the case of Bishul. Why does Tosis need the case of Bishul here? Why not just simply say that he's burning down the haystack or the trees or the wood in order to get the Aether, in order to get the ashes? So Tosis, so he claims that that scenario would not have fulfilled Tosis' goal. It could, would not have achieved Tosis' purpose. Why? Because Tosis is trying to get an Iser Hanah, right? In order to set it up as Mekalkel, he is creating something, a fire, which he's not allowed to benefit from. Says Tosfos, well, if he's benefiting from the Afer, I mean, that's what the Tziunim says, if he's in Tosfos, if he's benefiting from the Afer, then he's allowed to benefit from the Afer. And that would make it into Meleches Tikkun. And why is this so? He quotes a Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, and it's another place in Shas, the kol anisrafim v'isurei anah mutu lehenos miofra. At any time you burn isurei anah, and you're not allowed to do so, but you went in and you did so. I'll give you a classical case. Let's say you took a piece of a loaf of bread and you burnt the loaf of bread, push it into a campfire, and you converted this loaf of bread into ashes. So imagine I don't know exactly how you do beer chametz, but like in our place in Harnof, we go out there to the thing and we make a campfire, and the whole community, we throw in the bread into the fire, right? So the bread now is converted to ashes. Now it's okay because it's Erev Pesach, but imagine if we did this on Pesach. Why are we doing it on Pesach? Because we found Chometz Chas V'Shalom on Pesach. We want to get rid of it. One of the days of Pesach. So we got to get rid of the Pesach, the Chometz. Let's say it's Cholomot. Okay. So he throws it into the fire. Now he converts it to ashes. Is he allowed to use those ashes to cook an egg? Yes. Why? Because that's called kol anisrafim b'isurei anah mutu lehenos miofram. Any burnt isurei anah, you're allowed to have benefit from its afer.
Our take is it changed its whole.
Correct.
Surah.
It's changed everything
it's
completely.
Not bread anymore. It's
the panim chadash is bolakan. The afer is not the same as the original loaf of bread or as the original piece of wood that he burnt. There's afer, again, I don't know the physics of it, but afer is a new entity.
Even under the microscope?
I haven't checked in under a microscope. I'm just telling you halachically, the Afer is a brand new entity, and the old entity called the Isurei Anah, the Arla, the Chametz, whatever it is gone. And therefore, if the old entity is gone, he can take the Afer. But in a case of Bishul, where the fire is still attached to the Arla, to the Chametz, then to cook on this fire would be considered a violation of Isurei Anah from the Arla, from the Chometz, or whatever happened. That's what he says over here. He says, Lachain, therefore, Tosis mentions this case of Bishul. The Afal Gavdu Malach Atzricha Legufa Mishum Shehu Sover Lassos came, as we said before, the Pnei Yoshua, Havi Shapir Mekalkil, because it's also for him to cook his pot on the fire. So it's very fascinating to me that there are two scenarios that are very, very similar, and yet the halacha differentiates between them. There's one scenario is where I take the arla, the fire is coming up from the arla, and now I want to cook my pot. That's prohibited. Another case is where I take the arla, convert it into ashes, and now I want to put my egg in the ashes, and that's permissible. I can cook my egg in the ashes.
But either way,
I'm leaving this little ribbon in here if anybody wants to photocopy it.
Either case, you're cooking the egg in the ashes.
But you're allowed to have hanof from the ashes. You're not allowed to have hanof from the fire that's attached to the Isurei Anah. Right? You have the Isurei Anah in front of you. You're watching the picture?
Yeah.
And now the fire is coming out. You're not allowed to use that fire. If you use that fire, then you are ipso facto benefiting from the Arla. Because the fire is coming out, it's attached to the Arla.
The fire itself is Isurei Anah, right?
Or
the Arla.
That's an interesting question. I don't know if fire could be also about no, because the Gemara says that Eish is called the Dover Shem Bo Mamish. But the fire is a medium of getting enough from X, Y, or Z, whatever it might be.
Okay.
So when he cooks his pot on this fire and the fire is attached to the Arla that's going up in smoke, then he is considered to have violated the Isurei Anah of Arla. But on the other hand, if he waits a while, and he waits till the Arla turns into what? ashes, we all fall down, and that's a separate entity, and there's no Easter right now for the ashes.
So in this case, the Orler is...
Remind me to tell you a joke about ashes.
In this case, the Orler is the Easter right now.
The substance, okay. The wood, okay. The fruits, the chametz, you know, the bread on Pesach, these are all Isuri Adnah. And Tosis, the way he's interpreting Tosis, why did Tosis jump a step over here, leave out, you know, Afer, which is the case that we've been dealing with all the time. The Gemara itself says Afer, right here on Daf Kufa. Why did Tosis, you know, all of a sudden he ignored the case of the Gemara? Because in the case of Afer, he would not violate Isuri Adnah. It's a new entity. In the case of cooking my pot, the old entity is still there. Not the way I told you before, that, you know, LP physics, you know, it got converted into a gas.
Why aren't the ashes themselves part? I know it's the fire. You say the fire is attached to the oral.
Right. And therefore, you're not allowed to hanof from that fire, because if you have hanof from the fire, you're not hanof from the orla.
So the orla changes into ashes, and the fire's still going somehow.
Not necessarily. No, no, Don. I didn't mean to say that. That's what you just said is totally irrelevant to what we've been discussing. I'm just saying that you use the orla, and now you have ashes. Scoop up the ashes and do what you want with those ashes. Now, how did you create those ashes? They came from orla. Doesn't matter. It's a whole new entity. We call it in Sheva Brachos, there's something called Panim Chadoshes. You ever heard of that, Don? No? In order to say Sheva Brachos every day of the wedding, you need Panim Chadoshes, you need a new face.
Yes, okay.
Who wasn't at the other, at the wedding, wasn't at the... So the ashes are Panim Chadoshes, it's a whole new face. It's a whole new entity. It would be like a case, let's say I couldn't have enough from the mother, and now the mother gives birth to a little vlad, a little chickie, whatever. I can have hanof for the chickie. Why? Because the chickie is a whole new entity. Except for another halacha called yotze, which I'm not going to confuse with that.
But Don, you're getting confused because it's bishul on Shabbat. It's still bishul on Shabbat. Even if it's ashes, right? You're still cooking.
Our scenario is not necessarily...
Your egg is getting hot. No, what we're trying to do, Dave, is we're trying to set up a scenario where you'd be chayav from Aleches Mavir. Now you're asking a different question. Would you be chayav from a Vashel? Okay, so you know you can answer that question in many different ways. But the question is, where's the Mavir case, which Rabbi Shimon says you're chayav for even though it's a kilgul, and it's a Tzrichah L'Gufo? And what you're going to set up is a Mavir case where it's Isuri Adnah, and the fire that you created, you're not allowed to benefit from because it comes from Arla. But in your mind, you need that fire. And even though objectively,
so going back,
you're not allowed to have any unknown.
So going back to the billiard ball, so now you hit the second cue ball, the second ball. So under this condition, since the second ball is a new element,
so it depends. If the original first ball is still in existence, then by benefiting from the second ball that got hit by the first, you violated Israel. But if that first ball now dissipates into thin air and creates some sort of new entity, in such a case, that new entity has nothing to do
with it.
But that new entity is called Afer. Do you follow?
Yeah.
So I took the Arla and I converted it to Afer. So that's interesting. All right, now let's go back to our Tosis here in Sanhedrin. We don't have too much time, but we'll try to finish this up. And he says the following.
Now, can this be during the week? Like, you take Orla, you burn it in the fire.
Yeah, everything that we said is during the week, but its relevancy to that discussion is going to be when he did this Mavir on Shabbos, or he did this Chovel on Shabbos.
In general, the lighting of fire in general is Chovel.
What do you mean lighting a fire is Chovel? Let's not confuse ourselves. Lighting a fire is Mavir. It's not Chovel.
Basically, Chayav a Mavir, so he's genuinely in trouble.
Well, again, he's only Chayav for Mavir if you check off these two boxes. It's got to be a Mekalkel, which is Tzricha L'Gufa, and that Tosis thinks he'll be Chayav for in that scenario where he thinks he's allowed to benefit from it. That makes it Tzricha L'Gufa, but since he's not allowed to benefit from it, it becomes a Meleches Mekalkel. Okay then? Oh. The Od Yesh Lidagdik. Okay, here's what we're up to. A new paragraph. Does everybody have this? This would be three lines up from the bottom plus two words. The Od Yesh Lidagdik. At this point, Tosis is going to make a valiant effort to try to locate the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon about Makalka B'chabura. Until now, Tosis, threw up his hands and he said they must have had some sort of oral tradition, or alternatively, they had access to a brisa which we don't know about. Now Tosis says, I want to do what I call a brilliant kind of footwork here, a maneuvering here. I'm going to try to look into Shas and prove to you that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about Mekalkel B'chabura. Midasnan. Where do I find the source for this? B'psachim b'perek elu dvarim. B'psachim b'perek elu dvarim. Now what happens over there in Perek Elu Dvarim? So it says over there that Shar Kol Hazvachim Sheshachtam L'Shem Pesach, there are certain karbonos that if you shecht it with the wrong machshava, okay, so let's say we're talking about the Kohen who is shechting a karbon, but he has a mistake in his mind because the Kohen has to shecht a karbon lishma means for the sake of this karbon. And instead of having in mind l'shem, let's say, shlamim, he had in mind l'shem pesach. Instead of having in mind l'shem ola, he had in mind l'shem pesach. So the Mishnah establishes, and maybe I would ask somebody if they wouldn't mind getting me a kahati for psachim, only if you want to volunteer for that mitzvah, for that chesed, kahati moadim, I think it's volume 1. Okay, I'll have to get it myself then. Excuse me for just
a minute. I have it here.
You're on the phone.
I'll
be back in
a while. Including translation. It's pretty efficient.
There's a Kahati app on the phone.
I can't deal with apps. Okay, let me just get the Mishnah.
It also goes to the other format.
Ayin base. Oh, he doesn't tell you. doesn't tell you where it
which
is.
Which one we in? Moadim. Yeah.
Moadim. You see, I'll give it to you to photocopy.
What Mishnah?
I can't tell you what it is until I look it up. Okay then? So let's be fair. I'll tell you as soon as I find the Mishnah. Okay? First of all, let's find the parrot. Oh, I think we have a phone call now.
It could be the...
This is very good. You want to answer this phone? Must be absolutely urgent. This is called Elu Dvarim. Okay, the sixth parak of Psachim. Okay, the sixth parak of Psachim. Okay, good. Now, we're going to try to find the right Mishnah on the right page. Okay, let's see if we can find this.
Which Mishnah? Mishnah Aleph, right?
I don't know if it's Mishnah Aleph. Let's just see.
The app is searching.
Okay, I'm rushing. This is a race between a human being and a computer. Let's see who wins the race.
Didn't react to this.
Okay. Oh, this is Mishnah Hey. Yeah. So in your app, you have this same exact book that I have?
Yeah.
So it's on page Ayin Gimel.
No, it's not. Mishnah Hey.
Mishnah Hey. Excellent. HaPesach, didn't I say three times it's the sixth parak? Okay. HaPesach Sheshachto Shelo Lishmo. Okay. El L'Shem Zevach Acher. Kigon L'Shem Shlom. So he's got a carbon Pesach in front of him and he shechts it L'Shem. He sechs it L'Shem Shlom. Just 1 second. I'm sorry, let's skip that. Okay. So in such a case, Chayav Olav Chatos. Okay, Chayav Olav Chatos, which means that it's possible. Okay, so he took a carbon Pesach, and he shechted L'Shem Shlomim, and the carbon is possible. And since it's possible, he violates what? He violates Shabbos, and he has to bring a carbon Chatos. Okay, then Shmuel, are you listening to me? Because then you're going to ask me what I just said. Okay, Ushar Kol Hazvachim Sheshachtom L'Shum Pesach. Okay, now we're talking about the following case. It's Erev Pesach and it's Shabbos. Okay, I think this year that's going to happen, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so what happened? He took another Zevach, let's say a Shlomim, for example, and he shechted it L'Shem Pesach. Obviously, he should have been shechting a Karban Pesach. Instead, he was shechting another Karban Pesach. Another Karban. And he shechted it for the sake of a Pesach. So what's the deal in such a case? So the Mishnah makes the following distinction. Im Einam Re'uyim, if that Zevach could not become a Karban Pesach, Kigon, Shehem Bokar, O Nikevos. Okay, so he has various cases of cattle, because a Karban Pesach has to be sheep, it has to be a tleh, like a little shepsula, or a lamb, or it has to be male, and he took a Karban that was a female. In all these cases, it's Einam Ra'uyim. It cannot become a Karban Pesach. And therefore, it is a violation of Shabbos, because he's not involved in any sort of mitzvah of Karban Pesach that could override the Shabbos. And that is because this Karban could not in any way, shape, or form become and function as a Karban Pesach. Kigon, Sheshachu Shabbos, Otovs, and fine, that we don't have to do that, is Chayav Chatas. Why? Because he's not involved in any way of a mitzvah that's kosher. He is light years away from a Karban Pesach kosher, because it's Bokar or it's an Akeva. There's no way of fooling yourself here into thinking that this could be a Karban Pesach. So you're not shechting a Karban Pesach. You're allowed to shecht a Karban Pesach, but you're not allowed to shecht on this Shabbos any other Karban. And this cannot be a Karban Pesach. But ve'imre uyim heim, if on the other hand it's a set, right, it's a little lamb, or it's, okay, there are other requirements, ben shana, fine. Now he's tarut. He's completely preoccupied. And he takes this seh, which is really shlomim, and he shechs it l'shem Karban Pesach. At least he's in the ballpark. You know, there's a human error here that could be justified. Right. He's involved in what he thinks and what could objectively be the shechita of a Karban Pesach. He has all the requirements necessary in this animal for this animal to serve as a Karban Pesach. But he forgot that he sanctified it for the sake of shlomim. He thought mistakenly that he made it into a Karban Pesach. So I'm going to skip Rabbi Eliezer for a minute. Rabbi Yeshua says potter. He doesn't have to bring a Karban. Why? Because since he did a mistake that we can almost justify, he's involved in the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, just he mixed up between one animal and the other. Both animals look like a Karban Pesach, smell like a Karban Pesach, and therefore he's called a Torah Bidvar Mitzvah, and he's potter from a Karban. So let's just go back to Tosfos and see if we learned enough here to understand the Tosfos. Tosfos said, wait, just 1 second. Don't ask me any questions until I stand on firm ground. Okay, you didn't learn by Rav Soloveitchik. That's the difference between you and me. A person, Rav Soloveitchik, just didn't get up and ask questions. You shook before you asked the question, and you did all your research before you asked the question, and you knew that the Rebbe was ready to accept the question. Okay, there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about when a Talmud is allowed to ask a question. Okay, but anyway, so here we go on, and we say the following: that there's a Mishnah in Psachim, Shar Kol Hazvachim Sheshachlan Shem Pesachim Einom Ruuyim Chayav. Okay, so it's either an Akeva or it's Bakar. And therefore, he's not called a Torah Bidvar Mitzvah when he shechs this Shlomim L'Shem Pesach. Amrina B'Gemara, Man Tana, which Tana is it that makes this distinction, the Shani Le Bein Ru'uyim L'She'enom Ru'uyim, Rabbi Shimon He. Again, I'm not sure why the Gemara has to introduce Rav Shimon. L'chor, it says here Rabbi Yeshua. I don't know why we need Rav Shimon. The Amrina Hasam Li'el Minei Di'ayri B'Toet. All right, he made a mistake. If he made a mistake on something that's roi, again, roi means it's a tleh, and it's a ben shon, and it has all the requirements, then he's potter from a karban when he shefts in on Shabbos. Because that's a justified mistake. But if he made a mistake on something that's not roi, it's not in the ballpark, it's a zachar, it's not in a keva, or it's a bokar, and it's not a tleh, Almo, what do we see from this? That mechayvinon misasek. This is a case of misasik, which means you were involved in one thing and you did something else. So you were involved in shechting a Karban Pesach, which is okay, it's mutter, and instead you shechted a carbon shlomo, which is not okay. And nevertheless, despite the fact that you're a misasek, you're still chayav a carbon. The amrinan, okay, so that's psak. Now he jumps to mesechta krisus. The amrinan beperek sofek ochal, and the Gemara says in krisus daf yutesam ibeis hanachlu tinokos hoel umakalkel bechabura chayov is misasek nami chayov. Now what's going on over here? If you hold that makalkel bechabura is chayov, then misasik is chayiv. So Rav Osai, as a general rule, misasik, if someone is totally mistaken about the identity of something and therefore he violates the Shabbos thinking in his mind he's doing everything that's mutter, he's parted from a carbon. That's the general rule. Now the Gemara says we found someone who holds that even though he's misasik, he's chayiv a carbon. That's a very exceptional kind of case. Who is it that would say such a thing? And the answer is, it's the person who holds mekalkel b'chaburas chayev, meaning that if he shechts this carbon in a case of mekalkel, because again he's ruining the carbon, it's no longer carbon shlomim because he shechted it l'shem Pesach, that's called mekalkel b'chabura, and yet he's chayev. Now if he's chayev for being mekalkel, then the Gemara logically makes the conclusion that he's chayev for misasek. Now, at this point, if we want to know who is the one who would say that Mekalkel b'chabur is chayev, it's going to be the same person who says Misasek chayev. And the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, as we saw, attributes this chiyuv of Misasek to Rabbi Shimon. Umir b'chayev Rabbi Shimon Misasek b'chabura, Shmamina, Tosa says you can derive from that. Again, I don't know where I put this. Oh, here it is. Shmamina Mekalkel Nami Chayev. Now put a big period here. Because at this point, Tosfos has proven from Shas that the Mandi Omar who holds Mekalkel B'chabur is Chayev is whom? Is Reb Shimon. It has to be Reb Shimon. Why? Because the Gemara says that there are two halachas regarding Chabura that go together, that are interdependent. Haba Hatalia. One is Misasik B'chabura, the other is Mekalkel B'chabura. If I hold Chayev on one of these two, then I hold Chayev on the other of the two. Now we're looking to identify the person who would hold that you're Chayev in one of these two cases. We know it's Reb Shimon from the case of Misasik, because he was trying to shecht the Korban Pesach, and he mistakenly shechted the wrong animal, and guess what? The Gemara tells us that Reb Shimon holds he has to bring a carbon, even though, despite the fact that he's a misasek, and the answer is because of Meleches Chabura, Reb Shimon holds that misasek is chayav. So even though with regard to 38 out of the 39 malachas, misasek is parted from a carbon, there's one malach at least where you're chayav in a carbon, even though you're misasek, and that's the case of Shechita, which is called Chabura. And who is the man the Omar that we can point that finger to and accuse him of holding that misasek b'chabura is chayav? That's Rabbi Shimon. No, if Rabbi Shimon holds that misasek b'chabura is chayav, then based on the Gemara in Krisus, ipso facto, Rabbi Shimon is the one who holds mekalkel b'chabura is chayav. Because the Gemara says that these two are interdependent. If you hold mekalkel b'chabura is chayav, you hold misasek b'chabura is chayav. If you hold misasek b'chabura is chayav, then you hold mekalkel b'chabura is chayav. We've already proven, based on the Sugim Psochim, that the Gemara attributes that halach of misasek b'shchitas ha-pesach chayav to Rabbi Shimon. It means that misasek b'chabura is chayav. If misasek b'chabura is chayav, therefore mekalkel b'chabura is chayav. And now I'm going to leave the rest of this Tosfos for you to figure out during Chavrusa time, and I'll wish you a lot of luck and a great Shabbos. And we start on the top of Peheim and Aleph with the words of Yehuda. It doesn't mean you shouldn't review what we did before, but this is the fresh virgin territory here in this Tosfos. It starts with Rabbi Yehuda. And now Tosfos is facing the challenge, how can I look out at Shas and determine that it is indeed Rabbi Yehuda's the Mekalkel B'chabura is Patur? And that's going to be from this Sugyan Sanhedrin, that you're allowed to take out a coats a thorn on Shabbos, even though you're drawing blood, and that's going to be based on Rabbi Yehuda. It means that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Makalka Machabura is Patur. Okay then? So we'll stop. Okay, now if anyone has any questions, now's a great time to ask questions. So just, I had to get myself oriented. And here is the Sweet, can I give this to you or to Ben to photocopy this Mishnah so you keep it in your file? I'm finished with it. I'm finished with it, but you should.
With the Kahati?
I like the Kahati. Everyone has to decide for themselves, it's a matter of taste. I'm a big fan of Kahati. And what you want to do is you want to photocopy this page, which is Ayin Gimel, if you can remember that, and the flip side, which is Ayin Dal. You can put them on two sides of the page. Just so we have it in the files, because you know, we want to know where to find it, if you know what I mean. Then you can put a little something in here. Okay, any questions before we go?
Where do we leave off in the
Tosafot? The top of Pehei Amud Aleph, word number 4, Virabi Yehuda. You have that?
Okay. And then get back to it.